Here's myth number four. We should speak only about God's love to the unconverted because a message of repentance for sin will turn them off. Now, this one sounds tempting because a message of sin will turn people off. How is this yet a myth?
Well, people will sometimes be tempted by saying, well, they'll never listen if we tell them they're wrong. So therefore, let's not tell them they're wrong. Jesus won't let us off the hook, though. He tells us in Luke 24 that on the basis of his name, that is, on the basis of everything he has done, repentance with the goal of the forgiveness of sins was to be preached to all the nations. There's no way around it. Repentance is necessary. Now, the Bible uses the term repentance in a couple of ways, and we in the church, therefore, also use it in a couple of ways. Sometimes it simply refers to being contrite, that is, sorry for sin. Sometimes it refers to both contrition and faith. That's the wider sense. Contrition, the sorrow over sin, is brought about by God's law. That's what Jesus was doing with that rich young man in Mark 10. But we don't just do that for its own sake. We don't just bring up the law in order to have people wallow in guilt or self-pity. It is to be followed with the gospel. Faith is created by the gospel, for after all, it's only a heart that is looking at God's love in the face of Christ that can be confident in him. A heart that really feels God's wrath can't love him unless it sees that he is reconciled.
So if the church is to proclaim the message of the Bible, then it sounds as though, and you've made mention of this several times, that to evangelize, to bring the gospel, is really to bring both law and gospel.
Yeah, and as we have said in this series, law and gospel, both of them, are in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. In fact, coming up here on Good Friday, we ought to remember that the cross of Christ itself is the most powerful preaching of the law, as well as the gospel, because it was for your sin and mine that the Son of God became incarnate and went all the way to that criminal's death, that accursed death on the cross. So in the cross of Christ, we see how serious and damnable our sin is, and we also see the love that prompted God to do something about it and intervene and send his Son as our substitute.
Still, it's awkward to tell people they're wrong. How do we actually do this?
Well, there's no way finally to do it, but to do it. We can do some things that will maybe be tactful, and we can try to soften the blow a little bit. But we do have some resources, you know. The church does its evangelizing work, including its preparatory work of telling people the law, in the power of the Holy Spirit. It always has. And, you know, the church has been doing this now for 2,000 years, just since the death and resurrection of Christ, to say nothing of the Old Testament centuries. There's another thing that we have going for us, too, and that is the fact that the law of God is written on the human heart. People might be prone to just dismiss our statements about the law out of hand, but they've got something inside of them that won't quite let them make such short work of it. Now, they can still decide to reject that law and go their own way, but their conscience likely will be bothering them in the process.
Do you think that this is why we, as Christians, are uncomfortable with the proclamation of the law in evangelism, because it reminds us of our own sin?
Well, yeah. I mean, we end up telling people, as we are proclaiming the law to them, that certain things are wrong and sinful, and in some cases, we can think of times when we have been involved in those very same things, or at least similar things. But evangelism, more broadly speaking, reminds us of the law. Somebody once said evangelism may be good news, you know, according to its etymology. It means good newsism, basically. But it comes across as law for so many people in our churches. It reminds us of our own lack of love. One of the church fathers, Chrysostom, said that there is nothing more frigid than a Christian who cares not for the salvation of others. And the question is put to us when we fail in evangelism, well, how much does that mean we love our fellow man? Jesus looked at that rich young man and loved him. We too need to love and speak the truth in love. Our society makes that harder, if anything, because we tend to think the confrontation is so unnice and so intolerant that how dare you do it? We have big obstacles to clear, but that's why we need to focus again and again on the death and resurrection of Christ and what that means for us, the forgiveness of sins, the new life that that has brought to us, because it's out of that abundance that we're going to speak the gospel into the lives of others.